roll call. We'll see if we have quorum.
Tom Moore. Judy O'Connor. Here. Joe Omoasagie. Elaine Plencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Julian Rappaport. Jane Sprandel.
Here.
Margaret White. Susan Fowler.
Here. Five is enough?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I thought it had to be six, so I'm pleased.
And we probably will have six.
Because Joe will be here. Yeah, he will. Yeah, great. So I'll call the group to order and ask if we have any citizen input, public participation, which would be individuals versus agencies. And seeing no one hopping up, we'll move on then to the approval of the agenda. Any comments or changes in the agenda? And here is number six. Hi, Joe. All those in favor of approving the agenda? Aye. Okay. Only have a couple of comments, and that is today truly should be my last mental health board session as president. We will have an election today, and I once again appreciate the opportunity to have served. I came in just as it was time to start the meeting. I wanted to verify who the candidates are. I understand that Margaret White contacted me shortly after the meeting and indicated she wanted to be included. We also had Kyle nominating or putting himself forth when we had our last meeting. I've had an email from you, Kyle. I don't know if you're wanting to be placed in nomination. Are you interested in being placed in nomination for vice president? Well, I really think it's important to have other individuals on the board assume leadership opportunities. So although I said I would run for it last week or last month, it was because we didn't have additional candidates. So anything that would support others moving into a leadership position, I've gotten to lead for the last 2.5 years, and I like being a member of the board. Okay, I really just wanted to kind of clarify what the positions were and who was running. So thank you. I don't know if we can skip the agenda to move towards the election or if we need to go through new business. I think so. If people are, I should have suggested this when I asked for approval of the agenda, but do you mind if we move old business up to the old business section on election of the president and vice president? Is there anyone who would object to that? Okay. In the absence of the president, the vice president serves. And my understanding today is that we have a nominee for president, and that nominee is Margaret White, who contacted me and Lynn and indicated her interest, also contacted Kyle. And at this point, she is the only candidate who is running for president, unless there's another member of the board who would like to put his or her name forth. We have a paper ballot. Do we want to do, is it a vote, voice vote?
Yeah.
Usually. It's a voice vote. Okay. All right. So then I would ask for a motion to nominate Margaret, who is in Florida on a previously planned vacation. She'll be back later this week. Is there anyone who would like to make that motion?
I make a motion that Margaret White be put on the ballot for president of the Champaign County Mental Health Board for the upcoming year.
Okay. Do I have a second? Second by Elaine. Okay. Any discussion? My one comment is that Margaret's been on the board for 3 or 4 years, 4 years, so she has had extensive experience participating in the board, and we always hope that people will move up into leadership. Her term will end, I believe, at the end of 2019, so she will either be reappointed or not be appointed to the board, so we're looking at a one-year presidency at this point. Any other comments? Okay, all those in favor of Margaret assuming the presidency, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. I would then like to move on to nomination for the vice president of the board. It's not unusual for the vice president to eventually move to president. That's how I moved to president. But it's not required. It's always dependent upon the individual's choice. I believe we have one nomination for vice president, and that's Kyle. Would anyone like to put forth a motion to nominate Kyle? Okay, Joe is nominated. Do I have a second? Second from Elaine. Any discussion?
I think I look forward to Kyle not just being vice president now, but hopefully being president. I think he would bring a voice that's very different from ours. He's close to 60, and Kyle's a kid. I mean, my bad.
You bad.
I'm dad.
Any other comments? Okay, all those in favor of Kyle assuming vice presidency, say aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, so we have an election of new officers. In the absence of Margaret as president, we will move to the vice president to conduct the rest of the meeting. If the vice president is comfortable doing so. Okay.
Where are we at now?
We're at new business.
New business. Early payoff of the sale mortgage. Lynn, did you want to discuss that?
I'm going to go get one of these. So there's a lot of detail. It might be a little bit hard to follow because there's so much detail. But this is the result of Chris Wilson, our accountant, and myself working with the auditor and the manager of the auditor's office and an attorney, going through all of the documents which were involved with establishment of the SILA fund. So you can see, I think it's page 11 is a copy of, it's a fairly simple fund. So each year you're looking at the Mental Health Board Fund and the SILA Fund, and you have shared authority over the SILA Fund with the DD Board. And the purpose of that fund was to purchase and maintain some up to 4 small group homes. So there's, some of this goes back to 2014. We were able to purchase 2 group homes and bring them. Some of the surprises that we experienced were to make them as accessible as possible so that people could age in and not have to, with a change in life, move to a different setting. And also that we theoretically, that increases the value of the homes anyway, and then also get them to, you know, fully compliant with the state's SILA rules, which involves some fire codes that don't apply to any other houses of that size. So there's a little, it's a little weird, but a lot of extra expense. So that caused us to stop purchasing. So we didn't get to four homes. We did look at a beautiful home and talked about it. It was maybe affordable under the amount of funding that we had reserved for this project, but questions about liability were sort of sitting next to, like, what happens if? And we just didn't have enough experience to answer those questions with confidence. So at this point, the mental health board is on the note with the bank. The DD board shares the expense, but they aren't the buyer. So you're paying 3.903% interest on the note, and then you're earning, because you actually have a little bit of money in fund balance right now, that's earning about 2.5%. So it really makes sense to just pay the note off. It's not a whole lot of money to take out of reserve. We're suggesting that you take it from reserve. You could just take it out of 2019 fund, but whatever happens, if you want to pay off the note, then we need to make some changes to the SILA fund itself, and then there are additional actions that involve just the mental health board fund. So we have to, we're recommending pulling it from reserve. That's not the only way to do it, but either way, you have to increase the planned expense related to SILA. And there are the investments of each board are a little bit uneven right now, but what we tried to do with the way we worked this is so that the CCDDB would just continue to contribute its share for the next 4 years, I think, and then they come to an equal contribution. There are things that could happen that make them get there faster. For example, if the SILA fund needed more money, if both of the houses needed new roofs, for example, or there was a huge damage to the property that we had to cover right out of the fund. So that could cause the CCDDB to get caught up a little sooner. So what we did with the lawyer, a whole lot of that was focused on what happens if in every possible scenario. There's also a big if you chose to purchase more homes, that's you just start again, and that's always something that you could do. But in order to pay off, we wanted to cover all these other eventualities. So this is how we would propose to do it. It's not the only way to do it, and you can also say, no, we're not ready to do it. This is not really urgent. We just felt it was a way to save money. Spend money, but not spend so much on interest.
Then where is the reserve?
We actually had an opportunity last year to put it in CDs. It's in Illinois funds right now. Isn't that right? Everything is in Illinois funds. So the mental health board has the healthiest fund balance of any fund. And, you know, the recommendation that we have gotten from a consultant, actually more than one consultant, was to have 6 months of operating revenue. Plus, there's a tax liability there, and that's related to previous Carle Hospital tax revenues. So you can't use it, but you might have to send it back. So there's a whole bunch of money in the mental health board fund. I wouldn't touch those pieces of it just in case, but there's still enough money in the fund, and it's all available to you whenever you want to use it because it's an Illinois fund.
I know that we haven't made a motion yet, but I think it makes a great deal of sense to spend down the fund to the level that's being proposed. It's not a significant spend down, and given that we're paying more in interest than we're receiving in interest, so we're paying out in order to continue the $50,000. We approached the SILA purchases several years ago when I was on the board, and there was a lot of discussion about should we even be in the business of buying houses. But it was a way to contribute to our share for the Developmental Disabilities Board. And we have done that, and the three homes are established. And I think it just makes sense to pay it off now and to not wait. I think we're also somewhat in jeopardy having too large of a reserve. And some of the reserve is that we had some grants, return funds, substantial funds this past year. So 3 years. So it's not like we won't have enough money to do our usual planning and awarding of grants in the coming year. I think it's just a fiduciary wise decision.
Anybody else have any other comments or questions?
I just have a question that I didn't understand. If we pay down and own the homes, who maintains those homes? How is that set up?
There's a property manager.
And we're not changing that.
Well, we could.
That's
not in this set of recommendations,
okay.
But that is,
no.
You know, that's something we could every once in a while look for other property managers, but they've done fine work so far. I just, you know, we haven't gone out and bid it out again for the last 5 years.
I wouldn't ask
years.
Them for okay. that, but I didn't know if that would change.
No, it doesn't have to.
This is, I guess, just housekeeping, but as I read the decision memorandum, unless I missed something, nowhere in it does it say that we're talking about two houses. And it just seems odd that we're going to vote on something without it being stated that there are two houses, and that at the end of all this, the mental health board, right, would own those two houses because its name is its, or they would both. But that would be
the original commitment, mm-hmm. is that the mental health board is the purchaser, but mm-hmm.
when both boards own it. Yeah.
So the commitment is shared, and the obligation to costs, mm-hmm. you know, to infinity is a shared obligation.
So when the mortgage is retired, the deed of ownership says would say both?
Both boards have the legal authority to own, but mm-hmm. only the mental health board has the authority to borrow, mm-hmm. which is why it was structured
yeah.
this way.
Okay. But in any case, I just feel like the memo should say that we're talking about two houses, because otherwise that just isn't documented. We're buying something, you know, we're paying off the mortgage on something, but it's just a simple thing. But I just think it should say that somewhere. I couldn't see it. I've read
no,
it twice. Maybe
right.
it's in there.
Well, I would suggest on page 4 of the issue and budget impact, unless you want to put it directly in the decision section. But on page 4, it says in the second paragraph, by these actions, a payment of the full balance can be made during 2019, and the board will have contributed a total of $500,000 to the Scylla project, meeting the original commitment for two houses.
That would be fine.
But the original commitment wasn't for two houses.
It was for four houses.
It was for up to four houses.
Well, just say for the purchase
of
two houses.
Take out the original and just say to meeting the commitment of purchasing two houses.
Or retiring the mortgage on two houses. I just feel like the decision memo should say what we're.
Does it make more sense to amend the motion to do that? Because I can bring back a different decision memo in March and amend it that way. We have time to do this. So if that, we can find just the right way to say two houses.
Let's just do it. The decision section could be motion to authorize the executive director to take the above actions in order to accomplish early payoff of the Scylla loan for two houses.
So the original agreement was for up to four homes, and we never changed the original commitment. So, I mean, this... Yeah. Okay.
Susan, that sounded like a motion earlier.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to amend the motion and to include in the motion two houses. So the current motion is to authorize the executive director to take the above actions in order to accomplish early payoff of the SILA loan for two houses.
Is there a second? Any discussion of that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, roll call. All right. Can we do a roll call?
Judy O'Connor? Yes. Joe Omoasagie? Yes. Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
So I think we are voting on the amendment, so now we need to vote on the main motion.
Right.
Can somebody move the motion? Or is there any more discussion on this before we move forward?
I'd be happy to move the motion again.
Okay.
So I'd like to move the main motion to authorize the executive director to take the above actions in order to accomplish early payoff of the SILA loans for two houses.
Is there a second? All right, all those in favor say aye.
We have to do a roll call.
Oh, roll call. Gosh.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omoasagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes. And the motion passes. So we want to make a motion for the second motion.
I move to authorize by the President's signature the attached revisions to addendum to the intergovernmental agreement between the CCMHB and the Champaign County, the CCDDB, provided the CCDDB agrees to the same provisions.
Is there a second? Judy? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
No.
Oh. Roll call again. Might as well. Yeah, it doesn't hurt anything to do a roll call.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omoasagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
James Randall?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes. All right, motion passes. Next on the agenda, we have the nomination of NACO 2019 Achievement Award. Lynn, did you want to speak about this?
This is, I feel like I explained it okay this morning, so now I don't know if I have it in me. This is not a money award. This is just a recognition award. The NACO Achievement Award criteria are kind of many, and this program is a really good example, not just of intergovernmental agreement between the Mental Health Board and the DD Board, which you collaborate on all sorts of things. But and this is one of the important ones because it's a DD program that has evolved over the last 4 years. But it's also an intergovernmental collaboration with the Regional Planning Commission and with the State of Illinois, and that makes it somewhat of an accomplishment, somewhat of a rare gem. And we also have this is kind of small additions each year to the Independent Service Coordination Unit, which is a State of Illinois contract primarily that the Regional Planning Commission here holds to do basically gatekeeping, eligibility determination, and placement for people, especially adults, with qualifying developmental disabilities. So it's a very important role, and they've added on to their state-funded activities things that were intentionally, well, they were requested, and then they were intentionally designed for this community. They ask different questions each year when they do a little individual needs assessment with every person. They ask more questions in order to find out what people want that's the state's not asking. And so we've got a nice for 4 years now, a nice document at the end of each year with 300 or more individual responses that show us the kind of things people are looking for that might not be funded by the state, or that the DD board and the mental health board might not be currently funding, or that they should fund more of. So that's been as close as we ever get to consumer voice in the planning activities. So it's been very important to me. It's also not a huge investment of money, so it's cost effective. It takes mandated activities and expands them in a locally driven way. So I just thought it met all the criteria, and that was so nice to see. And what would happen with the recognition award in this situation is that the National Association of Counties, which has about probably 2,000, 3,000 members, it's huge, would learn a little bit about this program if it were to receive this award. It would be very poignant to me if the state of Illinois would learn about this program, because we've found these to be really helpful in our community, and there are other communities in the state of Illinois that are really struggling to have a robust developmental disability service system. So anyway, that's all it's about.
Can I have a motion? On page.
For an ACO 2019 Achievement Award.
Is there a second? Joe? Is there any discussion or questions?
I just had one about the number in the joint letter of support, the 40 people that are getting person-centered planning. That is just the local funding, because you have a lot more people that they're dealing with, so you just want focus on that. Is that right? On the local? I mean,
that's the newest addition to the program. It's actually a very specific group of 40 people. They're people who, with local funding only, are participating in the day program at Developmental Services Center. So some of those people have been there for many years, and it's just a way of understanding what they're doing, what they want. That's become a little bit more flexible program, as you told us last month. Yes. So so it's good timing for the person-centered plan from an outside.
Mm-hmm. And I have dealt with all of this for our son. I will say that it almost seemed modeled on what was already there. There wasn't that much difference for us. And it was a kind of a rough rollout, because nobody knew from the state what to do. But the regional planning people have done a very good job of, I think, at least in our situation, in figuring out where there are little gaps. And it was hard to take over something that was already there and with staff that were already involved with, but I think they've, done at least from my perspective, done a good job in accommodating what was already being done, and then moving on and opening that up a little bit.
Any other questions or comments? And I will say the county board at our committee of the whole passed this last week, and then tomorrow we officially approve it. And then did the DD board take this up this morning? Okay. All right. No other questions? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? All right. Can I get a motion for the second motion?
Motion to authorize by the president.
Second. Jane. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? All right, approved. So next on the agenda is the, I always forget, what is PY?
Program year.
Program year. I don't know why I can't. Gotta be different. PY 2020 application list, you will find it was handed out this evening, lists the primary and secondary readers. Lynn, did you have any comments about this?
What you've got in the board packet is the total. That's all 60 of the applications. And so there are 20 of those that are for developmental disability services. So you all won't review those until maybe later in the process, if like it's good if you have, if anybody's interested in looking at them, because we will recommend some to the Mental Health Board for funding. But so the list of reviewers only has 40 programs. Do you want to talk about the review process at all?
Do you want to go through it real quick? Sure. I know Jane's new to the process, so.
Well, it's kind of, for the last 2 years, the Mental Health Board has used a slightly different process for reviewing applications. Staff read all the applications in depth and produce a program summary of each application. And that has all sorts of stuff. It's got alignment with priorities, alignment with technical criteria. It's got financial analysis, some history of performance of the programs, a little bit of historical demographic and residency information, and then comments on the proposed services. So we'll bring those to the board in mid-April, and then the board will have a handful of applications that they will have looked at, maybe with us or maybe, you know, just looking at the program summaries, that then they'll talk about as a group. So there's a primary reviewer and a secondary reviewer for each application. We also have an online application system, which you have access to. It's not that easy to navigate, so I wanted to ask you tonight if it would be helpful to have a demonstration. There's a tentative study session scheduled March 27th, but we don't have a topic. If you have other topics that you would prefer, we can certainly not do this, but one thing we could do is get our software developer here to do a demonstration of the whole system. You can also look at our financial accounts in the system. Like, you can already do that, but it's just not, you know, just going in cold, it's not real easy to figure out. So if that's of value, that might help, back to what you do in April and May is discuss your impressions of the applications that you reviewed or others that are of interest to you. And then the agencies are often here we'll have two meetings in April, and so we'll ask the agencies to be here during the scheduled discussion of their program so that they can answer questions or at least hear what the questions will be. And then in May, we'll present you with recommendations that for what we think would be the best value.
So just a couple of additional comments. I have always found it helpful to not wait until April for the program summaries, but to go in to the application. And I'm not so concerned about the finances. I just want to know what the programs are doing. So for the five programs that I'm assigned as primary and the four or five as secondary, I often will go in and read those before I get the summaries. Otherwise, you've only got a week to turn it around. And although each person only reads between about 9 or 10 of the proposals, we do hear about all 40 because everybody shares. Primary reviewer starts off. We have about 5 minutes. Secondary reviewer adds information. And in the past, in order to get through it in a timely manner, we asked questions, which Lynn did a fabulous job of writing the questions down. And maybe Stephanie or someone, or Mark, everybody in the group wrote down the questions. And then we gave the questions to the agencies, and they submitted written reports. If we got into a question and answer with the agencies, we'd be here until midnight. So it's intensive reading in late March, early April. And if you can get a head start on your proposals, it's just easier.
I was trying to make paper copies of them before the meeting, and the copier didn't believe my timeline, so it didn't work. So I'm sorry. I will bring those next week to the study session.
All right. Anybody else have any comments or questions? I guess we can move on. agency information. Anybody from any agencies that want to give us an update or report back on any of the cool stuff they're doing? Doesn't look like we have anybody. So now we're on to old business. We already did A. B is the Parenting with Love and Limits contract. And I believe this is the one that we could not take action on in January because the meeting wasn't posted. Is there any additional discussion on this or any information we needed that we didn't get last month? Or all right, somebody want to move the motion? Judy?
Motion one, move to terminate the Rose Transparency with Love and Women contract number 19-034.
Is there a second?
Second.
Elaine? All right, any discussion? And do we need a roll call for this?
I think so, don't you, Lynn?
Yeah, it's just here for kicks and giggles.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
James Randall?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes. And the motion passes. Can somebody move the second motion?
I move to terminate the Savannah Family Institute Center of Excellence Agreement contract number 19-048.
Is there a second?
Second.
Judy? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Roll call. Yeah, but
James Brandel?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Joe Omosagie?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Kyle Patterson?
Yes. And motion passes. Next is the schedule and allocation process timeline. Is there anything that needed to be discussed about that?
Mm-hmm. I think because we have new officers, this is the right meeting to ask the question of is this what the board would like to continue into the future? We have booked along this same pattern for the rest of 2019, but I thought it was a good time to check and see if that's your intent.
I'd just like to say that, you know, it's great to have the study session scheduled because it provides us with a room and they're posted and we know that we have them, but there are occasions when we don't need them, so we shouldn't hesitate to cancel if we don't need them. But they're a great backup for when we do need them. And I'm assuming everybody wants to continue at 5:30.
Good.
All right. We don't need to take action on that. So I guess moving on the agenda, DD board information.
Well, they met this morning, and they had a similar agenda in that they're looking at applications for funding for program year 2020, which starts July 1st. They have 20 applications. You have 40. I think the first thing that we all think about is how much money is available to spend, you know, compared with the requests, and it's a very difficult question to answer. I have no projections of revenue for 2020 yet, and I don't think we'll even hear any projection at all until April. And at that point, we know that it's never a final projection. So I did an initial look at the numbers, and because of the situation where, you know, we've had 3 years of spending less than we intended to, you approve a certain amount of allocations, but they don't all pan out, and we understand some of the reasons for that, but the solutions are very tricky, It has to do with a workforce shortage and health of the agencies, and given the state budget impasse of a couple of years, we're actually very lucky to have a social service system standing at all. So I don't want to, you know, I want to count my blessings too, but one thing that we could do is overspend this year. If we overspend this year, we may have to underspend next year. And so that's something for you all to think about. I've done one run through of, I just sort of guessed what our revenue might look like in 2020 and what our budget might look like. So I've done one run through, but that's the most important question that I have for you is if you want to spend more this year, knowing that there won't be as much available next year for allocations, we can do that. So it's just as we start looking at the applications, I think that question becomes more urgent, but that's the best I can do with an answer right now. What am I talking about? The question that I got this far away. DD board. So we talked about that. The same is not quite true for them. They have a much simpler budget than you do, and they also have less money coming back as excess revenue, so it's a little tighter for them. They did also look at the SILA D-memo, and they had to approve the changes to the intergovernmental agreement, which they did. They looked at the request to nominate the ISC program for that National Association of Counties Award, and they approved that. We had a presentation by a new program. You will do that next week because I think there are three new programs to hear from. So they'll be treated as a study session. There won't be any board action, but they'll be here for that. And that was the majority of their business.
All right. Next on the agenda is the approval of the Mental Health Board minutes from November 14th, 2018, November 28th, 2018. And January 23rd, 2019. Do I have a motion to approve? Susan, second?
I'd actually like to approve all three so that we don't have to go through each one.
Oh, yeah, that's all.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Oh. Is there a second to the motion? All right, any discussion, any edits required? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, approved. Executive Director's report?
I've said too much already, but we do have the national conference that I'll be attending in early March, actually attending two conferences at the same time and running around from one set of meetings to another, but we got the Arnold Foundation is going to be paying for all of my participation this year. All my expenses are covered, so that's kind of neat. And that's for attending one meeting for the Arnold Foundation. And that's related to the White House Data-Driven Justice Initiative of a few years ago. So I'll have notes on all of the sessions I attend when I come back.
Oh, yeah. That's important. Thank you.
There's a Kim, our Associate Director for DD, has been doing trainings for case managers and other service providers since about October. They're once a month on the first Thursday of every month. She had a cancellation, and so Chris, our accountant, is going to have a training, and it's Bookkeeping 101. So that's Thursday, March 7. We thought that might be helpful for some of the smaller agencies and even maybe for some non-accountant types. So I think it's going to be a pretty small group so that they can treat it like a workshop as well. Anyway.
All right. We have staff reports, which are page 34 to 46 in your packet. Did any of you want to add any comments to or point out anything to us?
I just wanted to remind you about the Disabilities Expo. And if you are volunteering or want to volunteer, make sure that you sign up. Even though you may come every year to help, I still want to make sure that we place you where your first choice is. So on the expo site, there's a clear sign up here, and it's pretty simple this year. It's not a link. It's actually on the website. Jane actually signed up already. Yeah.
We received CU Area Projects audit today, so their payments will resume.
Is that everybody, or do you still have one out?
We still have one we haven't received.
Susan?
My question is would be for Kim, who's not here. It's her report. So I don't know if Mark or Lynn could address it. I got very confused as I was looking at the total puns, and this is page 41 and page 42. And then the estimated total census for the agency. So in looking at page 41, it looks like there are 832 names on the puns list for Champaign County, and that 421 are active. I'm just really concerned because only 15 names were pulled, and I know that the names pulled is always a small amount, but I don't remember seeing such large numbers before. And then I saw this 244,000 on the next page, and I don't know if that's for the state. It's almost 245,000. But if it is, then it's getting kind of ludicrous in terms of the list. And on a personal level, I had a meeting for my son with Regional Planning Commission staff who handle the puns. It's a very good meeting, but and I have no complaints about it. But she indicated that the state was now eliminating the levels of need, so that in the future it doesn't matter if you have an emergency need or a critical need. It's just.
Yep.
Your name it's just however long you've been on the list, basically.
It's probably, who knows is the real answer, but it could be because there are 19,500 people on the PUNS list in Illinois not getting services, waiting for that's the census for our independent service coordination unit serves four counties. Right now, that's the total census for their catchment area. They're going. It's not the county population. It's the it's the ISC's service region. They serve four counties. There's us and then three little counties. But they're about to serve 14 counties. So they're going to. It's going to change. But that's the total census, not the census of eligible people with DD.
Well, I don't know what we can do as a board. But I think it's really concerning that the PUNS list continues to be long, the numbers drawn are slow, and I do know that in the past year there were some really critical emergency placement needs, and that helped people get pulled. And while I can manage until our name finally comes up, not all families can. So I was surprised that I only learned in the meeting that they had done away with the levels of need. And I find that very concerning. Because levels of need also involve mental health. It's not just developmental disabilities. It's a comment, maybe just to have it on the record, rather than a request for you to explain it. But if there's anything that we can do at some point in the future that could be helpful, there are different levels of need, and I know of several crisis cases that moved onto the PUNS list who had not been on the PUNS list for many, many years, and it was appropriate. So that's my soapbox for the day. Thank you.
Who made that decision? State?
The reason that I said there are 19,500 people on the list is I think that what the position the state is in now is that so many people are in emergency or crisis that that's maybe why they're not doing that as a special category. They're just assuming that the house is on fire. I don't know, but because you're right, like that they used to be able to move people right in, but I don't know.
Anybody else have any questions or comments? We're still on staff reports. All right. Moving on to we have financial reports, page 47 to 62. Staff have any comments or anybody have any questions? All right. On to board announcements. Do we have any exciting news you want to announce? Events coming up? Nothing? All right. Well, with no other business, meeting's adjourned.
Lynn, are we going to do that record thing on March 27th then?
One more.
I didn't know what we decided. Well, I did. I know, but I didn't know what we were going to do. Is it a big change from last year? Oh.
So we have to approve the financial report, so we're going to pretend that we didn't just adjourn.
Okay.
Have a motion to approve the financial report?
Move to approve.
Joe, a second?
I'll second it.
Jane, need a roll call?
To approve more than one.
Okay. All right, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, cool. And board announcements? Nobody? All right, with no other business, call this meeting adjourned.
It is a learning experience. It's actually really interesting.
Well,
and
they
changed.
The ones from last year are still there because I think they've kind of been in there. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think they changed the format a little bit. I haven't gone in. So, hopefully, it'll read smoother.
Yeah.
To find the information that I really wanted. So, do you have any